Amen. What in the world does that have to do with our message? I'd like to read to you a text. Put me down a little, Jordan. It's kind of loud there. From Isaiah 62, verse 10. Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. Everyone has a different idea of what saving someone or something looks like. That became pretty obvious in this last election. For some folks, saving our nation means securing our borders and repealing global trade agreements. For other people, saving our nation means protecting individual human choices and providing for those people who are less fortunate among us. Now, I don't know that any of these thoughts are necessarily wrong or right. They're just different ideas about what it takes to save our country. But sometimes what is needed to save someone or something is a matter of right and wrong. In the clip that we just showed from this 1990 movie Tremors, it's very clear once again that the folks had very different ideas about how to save themselves from this creature that was trying to kill them. The majority of the folks believed that if they threw the bomb at the creature, that this was going to save them. But the one character, played by Kevin Bacon, knew that the bomb was not going to penetrate the ground and do any damage to the creature. That this creature wasn't as dumb, if you saw the rest of the movie, you'd know this part, wasn't as dumb as the other ones and would not swallow the bomb. So he devised a different plan to save them from this prehistoric killing machine. And his plan, though it was not understood by the other people around him, was the one plan that worked. For those of you who are a little bit older in the crowd, my age and above, you might remember also a movie back in 1972 entitled The Poseidon Adventure. I think there was a remake of it sometime lately, though, too. The cruise ship was hit by a massive rogue wave, and it capsized the ship. In order to be saved, the people needed to go up to the bottom of the ship. That was now the only part of the ship that was above water. But the majority of the people on the ship who survived the capsizing still went down toward the upper decks, which were now below sea level, thinking that going down to the upper decks was going to save them. But they were wrong. And every one of them died. Most people in the world have some idea of what it is that is needed to save them from their loneliness, save them from their unhappiness, from their insecurity, and so on. Only problem is most people are wrong. Most of the time we are not wise enough nor insightful enough to know what is really needed. And nowhere is that more clearly seen than throughout Jesus' three-year earthly ministry. John the Baptist had been sent to the Jews to prepare them for the coming of their Savior. And when he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And folks began to follow Jesus believing him to be the promised, the long-awaited Messiah, the one who had been sent by God specifically to save them. In fact, they so much believed that on one Sunday morning as he came into Jerusalem before the Passover, they lauded him. They put palm branches on the ground before him. They shout out, "Hosanna!" which is a Hebrew word which means, "Lord, save us." But again, they didn't really understand what it was that they were supposed to be saved from, what that saving was supposed to look like. And so eventually, many of them began to fall away from him. John the Baptist had been put in prison. While he was in prison, he himself, the one who had been sent to prepare the way for Jesus, started questioning. He was confused as to whether Jesus was the one or not, because he didn't know what that saving was supposed to look like. And so he wondered if he was even the one that was sent to save or not. He sent his disciples to Jesus to say to him, "Are you the one who was to come? Or should we look for someone else?" And the Jews, well, when Jesus didn't do the saving that they thought they needed saving from, when he didn't save them from the Romans, they turned around and turned him over to the Romans in order to be crucified by them. Isaiah had foretold the coming of a Savior. And John prophesied the way for him. And the people then followed him, thinking him to be the one who came to save them. But none of them really understood what he was to save them from. Their eyes were all fixed on temporal things, political issues, things that had to do with physical maladies in their lives. They missed the bigger spiritual picture. They missed the one that had the eternal ramifications. They thought that they needed saving from Roman occupancy of their God-given promised land. They came to Jesus on an individual basis because they thought they needed saving from the illnesses that were invading their bodies. Came to Jesus asking for justice, wanting him to settle disputes between brothers and sisters and neighbors. When what they really needed saving from was the depravity and the death and the destruction of their sin. And those are the exact same things from which we need saving also. And those are the things from which Jesus came to save us. Those are the reasons that Jesus went to a cross to die as the payment for our sin. Through his death, we have been forgiven of all of our sins. And through his resurrection from the dead, we have been given a life, promised a life beyond the grave. A life that is in eternity with God himself. We are saved from the depravity and the death and the destruction of our sin because we have a Savior who knew what it was that we needed saving from, and then who did what needed to be done to save us. That may sound really simple, but if you don't get that right, you don't get Jesus right. Jesus did not come to this world to bring world peace. He didn't come here to wipe out cancer. He didn't come here to prevent all wars or to stop all prejudice or to remedy all injustice. He didn't come here to bring an end to your personal conflicts and your crises. He did not come into this world to save us from temporal issues. He came to die on a cross, and he came to rise from a grave to be our Savior from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And that's it. And now, while he may periodically save us from heartache or illness or other troubles that we have come into our lives, those are not the main things from which we need saving. And those are not the main things from which he came to save us. Those things, those daily concerns, do not define, nor do they sum up what it means for him to be our Savior. St. Paul summed it up very simply in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Many of the Jews of Jesus' day didn't get that. They just didn't understand it. And thus, they did not recognize Jesus as the Savior that had been sent for them. Some folks were confused. Some folks turned away. Some folks had him killed. I pray that that never happens to any of us. May we in faith see him always and only as he came to be, as our Savior from sin. To God be the glory for the gift of his Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.